Camp preparation for this year's training camp is underway, and we're going to give you the top five offensive locks for this roster right now, today, on Locked On Chiefs.
From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back. This is Locked On Chiefs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Hope you had a good Father's Day. This is now the Monday following. We're brought to you by Bet Online. You want to get in there and get all your action. It's where the game starts. This is going to be fun because we have to go over right now in this short period. I know it feels like it's a giant trough, but it's just 6 weeks. From now until training camp starts, what are our expectations? Who is just locked for this particular roster? We're going to go over the offensive side of the ball today. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and Performance Consulting, as well as NFL 33 and RGR Football. You can find us on all of those at NFL33.com and RogueABC and RGRFootball.com. Like all of the comms, I think, is what I have right now.
It's all over the places where it really is. And I'm Chris Clark. You can find me in Chiefs Corner. And we are going to get into the offensive side of the ball, like Ryan said, and talk about who we think is going to be a lock for this roster. Because really the question is not necessarily who's going to make the team come September. That's what training camp and preseason is for. But it's the guys, it's how many positions are really open going into training camp that can really change. All this is assuming without injuries, obviously. Just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, I mean, that we can only do what we can do, and it is right now today. After having concluded mandatory minicamp, we know if anybody's got a tweak or something like that, but we're going to make the jump to training camp in the future and assume that we're able to project everyone. So yes, if something happens and somebody has a training accident or they stub their toe on day one of training camp, this obviously will be adjusted. That's just right. The way that it is.
Right. Like, or preseason.
You can't do offensive locks. Yeah. It's all fluid at this point, but you can't do locks for the roster, even going into training camp, without starting with the number one, and that is the quarterback position. So that, I think, actually opens up a great way to debate right off the top as to what the final roster is going to look at, because we all know who QB1 is. There's no question there, but it's what you do after that I think kind of cascades down through definitely the offensive side, but maybe the top 53 overall.
Yeah, it definitely does. And it could end up having implications all the way through. I think they have maybe 69 players when you throw in the practice squad players as well. So, yeah, I think it's, you know, what they do at the QB position could have a huge effect on all of those positions. And right now, obviously, Patrick Mahomes is locked in. We already know that. That's an obvious one. I think Chad Henne is locked in as well. I think this is where it gets really interesting, because I could see them carrying three and I can see them going with two. Really, it's going to be a question in my mind, at least, how does Bouchel look in camp? How does he look in preseason? Has he made a step forward? If he hasn't made a step forward, there's no reason to keep him on the active roster. If they think he can move forward and be the number two eventually, then maybe you keep him on the active roster, but that's the only reason you would.
I think Chad Henne is the number one lock for this roster, because you cannot go anywhere without a backup quarterback, and he's proven himself. Just don't run the ball, Chad. Don't run the ball. But beyond that, I don't think they keep another quarterback on the 53. I just think there are too many things that they need to accomplish. Carrying three on the active is not something that they can afford this season.
So you think that even Bouchel was activated late in the season, he will not be on the roster this year?
No, I think he'll be back on the practice squad, because I don't think they can afford the roster spot for a third QB.
Okay, fair enough. I don't know that he's going to make it to the practice squad if he shows any improvement over last year, but that's going to be something to watch. I can see it either way, going two or three. But if you go three, it's going to hamper you to other positions. And the next spot up is running back. And that's going to be very intriguing, because you have so many different weapons, or so many different players. I shouldn't say weapons. I think some of them are. But so many different players that can fall into that. And I am going to throw a fullback into the running back group, because it just seems to fit that way is normally how you look at it.
Because Mike Burton is a lock, people. He is number one lock, no matter what. I know people are going to say the fullback is obsolete. You have two guys that are, no matter what, will be on this roster. It is Mike Burton and it is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. There is no way around either of those. So barring injury, of course, those guys will be on the 53. After that, I don't know. Does the McKinnon signing change things for you? Does he become a lock because they went out and got him so late? It has to be like a concerted effort, like a real reason, in my opinion.
I don't think that it really matters that they went out and got him so late. I think I look at that situation and say they didn't expect him to maybe be there. And he probably had a higher price because he did well in the postseason and nobody was willing to give him that. And so they're able to bring him back at whatever they're paying him. And I don't think that's been disclosed yet. I haven't seen it. At that point, it's a matter of, okay, well, the big question when it comes to if McKinnon's on the roster is he has a better chance of being on the roster if you start looking in and he has a lot of guaranteed money, which I doubt he does being signed this late. That also is going to play into account with a guy like, Ronald Jones. How much guaranteed money does he have? Could he be on the roster because of that?
Yeah, that is the question. I don't think it's enough to warrant a roster spot just because. I think, if anything, McKinnon signing is probably more troublesome for Jones than it is for anyone else, because I don't think that they go out and get another guy with that kind of experience unless there's something that came up short in that signing, in my opinion.
Looks like Ronald Jones only has $500,000 guaranteed. So it's possible that, his complete contract is only, his cap number is only 1.5. He's got incentives up to, I think, 5. So it's possible he's on the roster because of that. Jerick McKinnon, it looks like, is on the roster for $1.2 million. I don't think any of that is really guaranteed. Maybe $152,000 is guaranteed. So, it's possible he's on the roster, but with those types of numbers, it's not something that is going to keep the team from cutting him if they think they need to go younger or cheaper.
Yeah, and that's fair. And, if he makes the roster, I would tell him he should celebrate. That is it's a pretty good milestone after the career that he's had at this point. And if you want to celebrate a special moment, whether it's something specific for an engagement for the soon-to-be wife or a moment in your life that you never want to forget or never let her forget, I have a tendency to do that as well, never let him forget, you can get your custom engagement ring classic piece for all time, whether it's a pendant or anything else. You can do it outside of the traditional jewelry kind of space. Find jewelry from BlueNile.com is where you want to go. And BlueNile.com is the name of the site. Whatever you're celebrating, they can help you make it even that much more special and get a one-of-a-kind piece, whether it's building your own engagement ring or finding something that represents that milestone in your life together. You want to go over there, and they have everything that you need to get some help, no matter what you're looking for. They have experts standing by 24/7 at BlueNile.com, who right now are giving our fans a huge break. You get $50 off of a $500 purchase right now. It's a podcast exclusive, and all you have to do is use the code LOCKEDON at BlueNile.com. That's LOCKEDON is the code. You get it insured, you get it shipped free, and you get it in packaging that will keep it a secret until you decide to let her know. It makes shopping stress-free for something very special for your significant other. Find your forever piece over at BlueNile.com today. Moving up really on the offense.
I have to ask really quick. How many running backs do you think are locks? I'm not asking for names necessarily. How many do you think they carry? You think they carry five like they normally do?
I do not. I think it could be just four.
Okay.
Which would mean three running backs. I have to see how the battles go out. Fullback. Right. And I have to see how the battles go out on the defensive side. We're going to talk about them tomorrow, folks, so don't miss those. We'll have your locks for tomorrow on defense. But that is all a fluid situation. This could be a year where I think, unlike years past, when you break it down the middle, take the specialists out, you're going to have more defenders on this roster than offensive players.
Possibly. Okay, so where do you want to go? You want to go wide receiver? You want to go tight end?
Oh, let's. I mean, come on. Is there any discussion to be had around the tight ends? Is there?
Yeah, how many?
Travis is a lock. Jody Fortson is a lock, barring injury. Noah Gray is a lock, barring injury. The only question is, do you keep a four, don't you?
Yep. That's the big question. Do they go with a guy like Blake Bell? Do they go with a Matt Bushman? Do they keep four? I mean, that's, it's going to depend on running back. Running back could determine how many tight ends they keep, could determine how many wide receivers they keep. It's all going to be fluid. It's all going to be looking at something. And what we're going to get into in the next segment, I just want to tease this real quick, is the offensive line. And that is going to have a huge effect on how many people are kept at all of the skill positions as well.
It is. This is such a game of Tetris on not only a strategic level on the field, but in an emotional level off the field, because a lot of these guys that we're going to be talking about are going to be backups, especially on the offensive line. We heard from Nick Allegretti last week, who's very much okay and comfortable in his role. I think he just wants to get another touchdown pass, and I don't blame him a bit. But like, that's what it comes down to. You have guys that have been there and taken you to the Super Bowl and been on that roster that are going to have to play backup roles and maybe a diminished role from what they had before. At tight end, that's not the case. You might have right. Blake Bell stay. I don't think so, but you might. Every time I say that, Andy keeps him anyway, just for the sneaks. If someone else shows that ability, whether it's Noah or whether it's a Bushman or something like that, that could be it. But that's one story. The other story, the pass catchers is completely wide open. And I think, honestly, the end of minicamp made that even more so, in that we know the top four, right? For our number three locks, the top four wide receivers are Mecole Hardman, Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and Sky Moore. That is a certainty, unless someone stubs their toe and has to go on the pup for a little bit. Barring that, I think everything is wide open now with the injuries to Ross and Gordon. Five and six, I think, are completely in competition.
Yeah, and I don't think, although they haven't done it yet, I don't think that this is a year where they go big on wide receiver. And what I mean by that is I don't think it's a year where they keep seven. I think it's a year they have to continue to keep six. So I think there's two roster spots open at this position, and it's going to be a battle all training camp, all preseason, to see who's going to get those last two spots. I think that there's several guys that could have a chance at it, but I think it's going to come down to two, and it's going to be probably guys that are going to be key contributors on special teams as well, because you have to have special teamers from those positions.
Don't mind me while I clean up my coffee that I just spilled. So it's one of those deals. We are recording on Father's Day, folks, and I'm a little preoccupied. So the question for me becomes, is there somebody that comes out of the blue in terms of not Fountain, not Gordon, not Ross, that rises up? Is it a Justin Watson? Is it somebody that pushes for the roster that we don't even know right now? Do you see that happening, or do you feel pretty much we've got the lay of the land?
I'm not going to judge currently. I'm not going to say, because the truth of it is it doesn't really matter what they've done to this point. It matters only whether or not they know the offense, and we're not going to know enough about that, whether or not they have the opportunity to make the roster. And where I'm going with that and why I'm saying it is because just because you're able to do things on air doesn't mean you can do it when training camp starts. Doesn't mean you can do it when the games start in preseason, and doesn't necessarily mean you can do it against the NFL competition, because just because you can do it against third and fourth string players in preseason doesn't mean anything. It's if you see guys starting to get reps with the ones and twos in preseason games and in practice at training camp, that's when you need to start paying attention. And the other thing, I'm just going to throw this out there real quick, is this is a long way away, but when preseason games start, you want to know who's going to make the roster at the back end of the roster? Watch core special teams guys on the first string. Watch special teams, and you'll figure it out.
Well, you said something really important there that I don't think we emphasize enough. They're going to experiment. You're going to see guys get reps with the ones in practice, but it's who gets those reps in the preseason games, especially now that there's only three. They're going to make a bigger impact than in years past.
Well, and there's really only two for the first teamers, so it's going to be a big deal. I mean, you watch who's going to be getting in there with Patrick Mahomes. You watch who's going to be getting in, and maybe even the first stringers include Chad Henne, because I'm not saying Mahomes isn't going to play in the preseason, but watch what they've done in the past. They may not have him play much of the first half in the second game like they normally would. Maybe they put in Chad Henne so he can run the offense with the ones for the most part.
I agree. I would not bet on seeing Patrick Mahomes in the preseason. If I was gonna, there's probably a prop for it over at betonline.net, your number one source for all your betting needs, whether it's just making stuff up, but whether Patrick takes snaps or not, it's out there. You can find all the information for all the other sports, and they are all just other sports. I encourage you right now to check out the NHL playoffs. The Avs are doing well, crushing even more than my hopes. I'm a closet hockey fan because I've never played the game. I'm truly just a fan of that one. I can't do analysis because I don't know well enough, but that's fun. If you want to bet on it, you can do that as well. It's over at Bet Online, where all the scores, the insights, the podcasts, all the information that you need to put your money out there on the line in a smart way. and be protected. Be in the know when you do it. Head to their website. It's easy to get to from wherever you are, whether it's on your phone or not. It's Bet Online, where the game starts.
I just have to say, it's funny because some people in the YouTube comments just crack up every time that we say on the line or you say on the line. They're like, they can hear it in the Vince Vaughn voice. So and that's exactly what I think of when I hear it. So
if we could reach out to Vince and get the permissions to use the clip, I would do that every day.
Yeah, I know, right? Be awesome. Oh. Okay, so now here's where it really gets fun. And maybe it's just fun for me because I do like roster building. I like trying to figure this crap out. But you start looking at how this roster is going to be built. Okay, so we say there's going to be four running backs probably. Two quarterbacks that gets you to, you know, that gets you to six. Three tight ends that gets you to nine. Four wide receivers, probably going to six wide receivers. That's probably going to get you to 15. So now you're sitting there with 15 players that we think are probably locks, though we don't know who the players are necessarily at the back end of the wide receiver, at the back end of running back and the back end of the wide receivers. So the question becomes, where are they going to go at offensive line? How many are they going to keep? I think that they have to at least keep nine.
Yeah.
It would not shock me for them to keep 10, but I think they keep at least nine.
Given everything they have to do on defense, I don't think they can afford to keep 10 this year. This year they possible. Need to go nine. Yeah.
But if they and so but if they go so low on running back, maybe they can.
Yeah, that's true. But right now, like you said, you just added up what we have is locked. You know, we're sitting at 15. So nine is 24, which means you only have a two-position swing. Last year it was 26 in camp for the offense and 24 for defense. I think that flips. I don't think it can vary much more in one direction or another. I think it's 26 is about the max on one side of the ball or the other.
I agree.
So right now I'm leaning towards nine offensive linemen, and we know the locks. Orlando's going to be there. You're going to have Tooney and Creed and Trey. Done deal. Now Lucas Niang becomes a question mark to me. I think he's going to be NFI. Or it won't even be NFI because it is a football injury, but he will be on IR.
He'd be a pup.
Is that how it starts and then you shift to it?
If he can't practice, and just for clarity for earlier, you can't go on PUP if you've already done OTAs, I believe. So anybody that's been in OTAs, you can't go on the PUP list at this point. Right. It would just be IR. So
now Lucas was observing. He can still go on the PUP because he did not participate.
That is correct. And I was about to say that. Yeah, that's exactly right. No, you're good. Anybody that hasn't practiced in OTAs or in mandatory minicamp can still go on the PUP list. That is a possibility for them. It's the guys that have participated in OTAs or in minicamp are not eligible for the PUP list at this point. They can go on IR, but they can't go on the PUP list. So if you participated, you're not eligible. Lucas is not. He's observed. The question is he going to be able to play? And it wouldn't shock me for them to keep him on the PUP list. Maybe even to the regular season. Although if he doesn't make it back from the PUP list before the regular season starts, he has to sit out, I think, the first 6 weeks. So that's going to be a question. And it's just a question whether or not he's going to be healthy yet. He had a horrible injury. So
I don't think it's a question at all.
Well, I don't think it may not be.
I don't think he can play until after the bye at the very, very earliest. So I think it will be PUP or IR, whatever, however that works out. Either way, folks, he's not going to count as a roster spot. He'll be attached to the team. He will not be one of the 53. So we take him out. So then it becomes you have to have Wiley and you have to have Kennard, right? So those are your competition at right tackle. So now we're up to six spots.
I just want to throw this out there real quick. The other one thing on injuries, if they are on the 53 as of the last cutdown day, then they're eligible to go out on IR and come back. Mm-hmm. If they are cut for the regular 53, the final cutdowns, they're not eligible to come back from IR if they're put on IR. So you have to make it for the first day. So just clarity, because that could play in for some other players.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And again, when we're talking about needing every spot you can, having to have Lucas on day one so that you can then move him off, that causes a little bit of rigmarole. It exposes someone to waivers, and that's going to be a concern.
And it's not necessarily just Lucas, because Lucas could be on PUP, and if he's not on the eligible roster, then he goes on PUP. Then he's on PUP for 6 weeks. If they think he's not going to be back for 2 months after the season starts, then he stays on PUP. No big deal. But any other player that gets injured or anything, I mean, that's something that you're going to have to watch.
So knowing all of that, yeah, we are at six.
Allegretti's seven. I would call him easy seven.
I agree. Yeah, there's no way. So, I mean, this is filling up rather quickly when you look at it. So then the question becomes, what do you do beyond that? I don't think there's a reason for Austin Ryder to be on this 53-man roster. I'm sorry. I know you need a backup center. Nick Allegretti can be that if he needs to. I do not see a reason for Austin Ryder to make this roster. Do you?
I think he does. I don't care if you think it's a valid reason or not. I think he does make the roster.
Okay.
I don't think that – I haven't seen enough from Allegretti, and the team doesn't seem to have really used him in a situation enough to where they've given him the chance to run as the backup center. I don't think they'd want to go that direction. I agree with you. I don't think that he probably deserves a roster spot. I think that they would be better with Allegretti having to step in for a game or two, and they could find somebody else. The problem is who else are you going to find, and is Ryder going to be available during the season? I kind of doubt it, just because he is an offensive lineman, and those are few and far between, and injuries happen. So I agree with you. I don't know that he necessarily should be, but I think he will be.
Okay, fair enough. So that's got us eight. What? We're at eight, so we need one more. I think it has to be Jerron Christian, who's been taking some ones and a lot of second-team snaps at left tackle. I don't think there's much question, as they have practiced in OTAs.
Yeah, and to be clear, I want to throw this out there. We're not really saying where, you know, who's a starter and who's not past four, past the top four, because right now we don't know. Wiley or Kennard could be the starter at right tackle. There's an off chance that it could be Niang. Past that, I'm not saying that any of the numbers that we're really saying really matter when it comes to if you're on the roster or not. I'm not saying Allegretti is the seventh best lineman, but he is on the roster. I think Ryder is as well, but I think Jerron Christian is definitely on the roster as your swing tackle.
Yeah, so, I have to think so.
Yeah, I can't imagine them going into a situation where they don't have a guy that can step in and play left tackle if they absolutely had to. Yes, I know that they had Tooney do it last year, but I don't think he could do that again this year.
So we're
playing on that being your backup.
Number five position group, offensive line. There are four locks. Everything else is a little bit wishy. We'll have to see how the competition comes out. We have a good idea of what the eight are.
I'd say there's seven locks, actually.
With Kennard and Wiley?
Kennard, Wiley, and Allegretti. I don't think any of those guys are going anywhere.
Okay, so we're saying seven locks. Now, we have it to eight and nine. And what that means is Prince Tagawanago to the practice squad. Roderick Johnson likely to the practice squad. I think Caliendo had some decent reps at guard that he might make the practice squad. Other than that, I have not heard a lot of glowingly positive feedback on the depth at the offensive line. So I don't think this becomes a serious debate. I think we have nine, and that's what it's going to be, because I don't see anyone else really pushing them to make a 10th person at the offensive line group a necessity.
That's possible. And now that I think about it, I think we have eight locks, because I think Christian's is a lock as well.
So we just locked the entire offensive line, folks.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, honestly, you have to have a left tackle. You have to have a swing tackle, and they don't have one. And we don't know what Niang is going to be right now. So to me, I think you have to have him as a lock for the roster, unless they make another move and they bring somebody else in, which, I mean, all the locks that we've made are caveats to that. So,
yeah. Well, and all of this is going to affect the defense. We're going to run down the top five position locks positionally tomorrow. On the defensive side of the ball, don't miss that. Also need to let you know, if you would check out the NBA mock draft, that is over on Odyssey. You can get that. It's the ultimate, all going through on up to the NBA draft, as well as check out Locked On NFL and Locked On NFL Draft. Over there, Croc and I are going through progressions for the offseason, rookie classes, and what their impacts are. You guys want to hear some of that, because the AFC West is going to be a tumbleweed. Who knows who's going to come out on top? But hope you enjoyed your Father's Day to all of you fathers. Congrats. We'll be back with you tomorrow to run down the defense and its positional locks. Thanks for listening today, and we'll talk to you then.